Josh Vern, your Royals insider, joins us here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern, I found myself just very, very jealous of De La Cruz over the weekend.
You should. Yeah, I was too. I loved watching that. And there's just nothing better than a city when the baseball team is red hot.
Yep.
I got chills listening to that call of Ellie De La Cruz's is his triple. I can't wait. Bob, you mentioned Orioles tonight going up against the Reds. Not only what De La Cruz did to the Reds, where it's just a guy that gives everyone confidence because we got that guy.
Yeah.
We got that guy that can carry us when we don't have it. A lot like the guy that's going to be in the other dugout, Adley Rutschman. That's what he's done to that Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And, man, you mentioned the Orioles calling up their top infield prospect tonight. So as they lose him, they gained the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball as Jackson Holliday, last year's top pick, ascends to the top of MLB Pipeline's rankings. So the Orioles have two of the top 15 prospects in all of Major League Baseball. That's not counting the guy that they're calling up today.
Yeah, the Westberg kid is, as you mentioned, coming up tonight. And it's just, I love watching these young ball clubs that are exciting, that are fun, that are captivating their cities, a little bit like we saw in 14 and 15.
No question.
But, Vern, I continue to watch these young ball clubs and small markets do good things. And to me, every day that goes by, I realize it's not a baseball problem. It's a Royals problem.
Yeah, without question. It goes back to something that you've touched on throughout this season, and that is the drafting and developing, the winning and losing of trades. The Royals have just had a very bad five-year stretch when it comes to those things. When it comes to drafting, when it comes to making winning trades, it's been a rough stretch, and that's why you see the team 34 games below 500. I am happy that you made the comparison between Ellie and Patrick Mahomes, because to me, especially for people that are going to tune in tonight and watch him for the first time, Shohei's in a different class, of course, but De La Cruz to me is the first time baseball's getting a freak. You know, the NBA, we're starting to see the Wembanyamas and Giannis and Jokic and Embiid, guys that are 7'2", that hit threes, that can handle football. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. We've never seen anything like that before. Baseball's finally getting that guy. Okay, Shohei's different, but Ellie's a freak. Again, 6'6", switch hitting, shortstop that can throw the ball 100 miles per hour, that hits the ball 120 from both sides. Yeah, I think it speaks very well about the future of this game that, yeah, we too are now getting those cyborgs that are created somewhere in a lab. And yes, the Royals can have them too. Shoot, they almost had Ronald Acuna back in the day. So, you need to sign Ronald Acuna when you have the chance. You need to pull the trigger on Whit Merrifield. You can't miss on Asa Lacy. We could go over it for the next hour, all the misses over the past half decade.
Well, and you mentioned the Ronald Acuna thing. I mean, that's the one where you look at, you say, you can't fail there. And I understand, you know, they came in at the last second and offered
more.
It's hard
it's a tough
to do.
Job.
It is.
No
doubt. It's not easy. But
that's why they get paid what they get paid.
Right, exactly. And that's where you have to be willing to spend more. I mean, you just do in this day and age. And somebody on the text line says, drafting and developing does not take away from the fact baseball needs a salary cap. The Mets have spent $330 million and they lost their 42nd
game
yesterday.
They're trading guys away.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would I like in a perfect world to have a salary cap and salary floor? Sure. But I think that's more optics, Vern, than it is about, you know, the Chiefs are good because they have drafted the right players and developed those players, right? You're looking all around baseball. Teams that draft and develop well get on top and stay on top. Look at the Baltimore or the Atlanta Braves of the last 30 years,
right?
They draft and develop talent well, and they get it up to the big league level. That has nothing to do with the salary cap. The Royals aren't failing because other teams are outspending them. Again, the Mets are spending $333 million, and they're in last place. The Royals have failed is because they draft so poorly and develop even worse.
Agreed. The Braves draft so well, they gave Drew Waters away for a draft pick because they had Michael Harris pass him up on the depth chart. We weren't expecting that. Okay, I guess we don't need this guy anymore. Cleveland, Tampa, there's plenty of teams that don't spend big. Now, a salary cap would help, and you acknowledge that. Of course, it would help level the playing field, sure. But that isn't the number one reason why the Royals are the second worst team in Major League Baseball. It's top five, yeah, but maybe five behind four colossal misses or four terrible drafts or however you want to rank it. It's not top three, the fact that the Royals, again, who spend more than Tampa, they spend more than Cleveland, they spend more than Baltimore, mm-hmm. They spend more than Cincinnati. They've spent a lot more than teams that are doing much better than them. Just, unfortunately, those teams draft, trade, and develop at a much higher clip.
Well, and the salary cap, you know, obviously would allow you maybe to keep your own guys here, but Tampa hasn't had a problem with that. Oh, Blake Snell's gone, fine. We'll find somebody else. They don't want their guys, right? That's how good they are.
They're anti-cap because they don't care.
We don't need a salary cap. Yeah. We'll just continue to draft and develop like we've been doing and win 50-some ball games.
Yeah, they're having a big weekend, I believe, in Tampa, or a big week in Tampa, as Evan Longoria and the Arizona Diamondbacks come home. And they say, oh, he's the greatest player we've ever had. We're going to celebrate him. But they traded him away. That would be akin to trading Salvador Perez away, right? Longoria had that moment, game 162. He hits the home run to beat the Yankees, and he's a hero in Tampa. He'll have his number retired down there. They love him for what he did in the postseason, just like we love Salvi for everything that he does. But they moved on from him, just like Cleveland moved on from Francisco Lindor after he took him to game 7 of the World Series. Yeah, these markets that draft and develop, that make savvy trades, they're moving on from their hometown heroes pretty consistently.
Josh Vernier, our Royals
and
insider,
not missing a beat.
Yeah, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. In addition to jealousy, I felt sadness as well. This was after Zach Greinke's start this weekend.
You always got to make pitches, and there's never really an at bat. I feel like I'm completely in control anymore. The stuff's just not nasty enough for that to be the case.
I felt like, Vern, that if Greinke went off on his like in-between start jog and left the ballpark, he might not come back.
Yeah, but that's been the case for like a decade now. Even when he had like a 1.5 ERA with the Dodgers, I wouldn't have been surprised if he and his kids just left and family just went away and he called it a career. No, listening to Zach after the start this weekend, I got a lot of reaction like that. I've never heard him as despondent as he was. Never seen him so down. Well, body language wise, that's how Zach is after every start. He's not looking guys, you know, he's not looking anybody in the eye. Mm-hmm. And as far as him putting down his stuff, he's been doing that since the beginning of spring training. He's been trying to figure out how he's going to get guys out because he knows, you know, that's the brutal honesty that Singer and Lynch and these guys always talk about. He's just as brutally honest with himself. The quote that stood out to me, I actually have it here. Listen to this response to the question about losing every single road game since rejoining the Royals.
2 years since you won on the road, and it looks like a statistical oddity. Some of these games you pitch very well enough to win. Do you make anything of that? Is it one of those crazy things? Or
I guess I haven't really thought of it. I don't get a lot of wins, period, so.
Yeah, I don't get a lot of wins, period.
That, to me, is a subtle dig at the team. That's as politely as you can say, this team stinks, buddy. What do you expect me to do?
Right.
That to me, would be more of an impetus for him to call it good. Because remember, last year he talked about how much fun he had with the team, and I think a lot of that had to do with just having his kids around. I'm wondering if this losing is even souring the fun that he has with his kids at the ballpark. Yeah, maybe this year pushes him out, but no, I'm not expecting it at the All-Star break, because if he considers it, JJ better get on his hands and knees and beg him not to go anywhere. We need those five innings, big dog.
I would find it, though, terribly appropriate if, like, two days later, everybody's like, is anybody seen Zach? And they're like, well, no, he jogged out of the stadium the other day, and we haven't seen him, and he's gone.
Remember, he's trying out for some golf tournament.
Yeah.
Remember when Roger Clemens came back to the Astros and had that deal where he only pitched like home games?
Home games, yeah.
Oh my goodness, he's in the Astros owner's box cheating.
He's only at home.
And he only played like home games, only had to show up the day he pitched and all that kind of stuff. Could we see something like that with Zach for the rest of the bro, you don't need to be here. Just show up every fifth day, we'll take care of you.
I brought that up to JJ last season, half joking. I would be all for it. I don't think, again, they can't be choosy. Look, if Zach says, "Hey, I only want to pitch at home," I'll redo my contract or whatever. Sure, yeah. You look at the numbers. Again, he hasn't won a game on the road. His ERA is right around 6. Went away from Kauffman Stadium. That's not just this year. That's the past 2 years combined. Mm-hmm. He's been bad on the road. So yeah, if he wants to do that, I'd be all for it. But look. For as well as Austin Cox pitched out of the bullpen this weekend, what, like 2 2/3 innings? No, this team, sadly, would be in big trouble without the soon-to-be 40-year-old.
No doubt. Talking big with trouble. Josh Vernier, Royals insider. So when you start to look at, you know, where we are right now, we're headed into the 4th of July holiday, Vern, and so that means the trade deadline's going to be heating up. Aroldis Chapman, obviously the biggest trade ship that they have. I thought it was big the other day where he came in against Tampa and struck out the side, like a big trade chip, upping his trade value by going out and striking out the side against the best team. Did we get more in return for Chapman because of that?
In front of those executives, right? Tampa's a team that would want him, even though they've had their disagreements in the past. I think the Rays hate Aroldis Chapman, but hey, you watch him pump 103 past the opposition, it has a tendency to help you get past that pretty quickly. He did it again yesterday, 1-2-3, so 6 up, 6 down in 2 games against Tampa, 5 strikeouts in those 6 hitters. I can't imagine of the 2B free agents, I don't believe that there's a more valuable reliever on the market, on the trade market right now, more so than Aroldis Chapman. And I do think that Royals fans, maybe not the rest of baseball, maybe they are, but certainly Royals fans, I do think we're sleeping on the value of Scott Barlow as well. He just has the Royals stink all over him because all he's done is lose, right? He's been here for 5-6 years, just part of perennial losers. But this guy, when you put him in big spots, he performs at a very high level, and it's not a 3-month rental. You get Barlow for 1 year and 3 months. I think Barlow might be maybe not as valuable, but just a tick below Aroldis Chapman. Chapman's stuff looks like classic Aroldis Chapman. But Scott Barlow, those two, that 1-2, I mean, if you can package them together, that would be quite the bounty. But even individually, on their own, trading each of them, you should be able to, for each, bring back a 21, 22, 23-year-old starting pitcher.
Is there anything outside of bullpen that you would foresee them moving?
Well, you know, again, like we talked about last week, some bench guys in Olivares or Nicky Lopez. But Bobby, you brought it up last week. Put yourself in a seat of a general manager of a team that is trying to make it to the postseason, even a Cincinnati Reds team. We haven't been to the playoffs in quite a while. Let's do whatever it takes, whatever we need to get over the hump. When you look at this Royals roster, do you say, oh, I'm a Bobby Witt Jr. away from winning a title, from clinching a playoff spot, and MJ Melendez? These are guys that on a winning team are probably hitting seventh. You know, Michael Garcia is probably an 8-hitter or 9-hitter on a championship team. In Kansas City, they're hitting 1-3, they're hitting 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. For as much as I like some of this young talent, if you're going to trade it, to me, that's an off-season move because these aren't the Ben Zobrist, Johnny Cueto, obviously. And I don't even think they're the second-tier guys that help put you over and put you into the postseason. Everyone's available. I got no issue with moving anyone. I just don't see it likely that a contender's going to want to pluck from this 34 below 500 ball club.
Vern, do you think this offseason or maybe after this draft, they just kind of gut the college scouting department or whatever the drafting department is, you know, on this team because it hasn't been good in so long?
You know, I was asked something similar on the post-game show, and to me, if JJ or ownership make another small bite like that out of the front office? It just continues to show, in my opinion, confusion as to is there a plan, right? We talk about it so much with the stadium, but if every year you're making slight tweaks to the front office, just, okay, we're going to move out from this guy, we're going to give you a promotion. We're going to fire this guy, we're going to give these people a promotion. We're going to fire this guy, we're going to give this are you taking too many small bites? Because it's starting to look like maybe years ago you should have cleaned house when instead you took those small bites. So in my opinion, you either don't do anything or you clean house. I for as much as we're evaluating the players, it seems as if ownership has been evaluating the front office for 4 years and only makes small declarations on what they've learned from those evaluation seasons. I'd like to see a little bit more leadership from the top. So to me, you either clean house or you leave it alone and stick with the plan that you had less than 12 months ago.
He is Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Vern dropping by each and every Monday at 8:25. The Royals, I thought, fared okay against the Rays over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Got a good start from Lynch.